Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. Build your future with Trade Institute of Victoria.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ow! I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
I think it just went awry from there.
Put moron number two on the phone.
That wasn't right.
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
I feel good.
Oh, look at the running seat. Jonathan LaPaglia, good.
Yes, of course, we've got a new incarnation of Survivor.
Exactly.
Different version.
Heroes v. Villains.
Then I see Hump Day Quiz, not so good.
Good, good, good.
And then I've got a little something to bring to the table back half.
Ooh.
Before Mick Molloy joins us.
Oh, Jim.
Front, far, back.
One
and, of course, you've got some questions about what he's doing in Sydney.
Well, when he left Hot Breakfast, he said he will never, ever work on breakfast radio again.
Hell would need to freeze over.
And guess what?
What?
He's back there. So we want to know how much.
That's it. Hello, Fat.
G'day, Jimmy boy. First of Feb.
I know.
There goes January. Sick and tired of you've been hanging on me.
Oh, my goodness.
So Feb, here we come. Here we come, Jimmy boy. And hello to you, Rebsy.
Hazelwood round the wicket. Short one, took a bit of the glove, again, how many times does Elgar want to get out the same way? He's gone, 1 for 22.
Jim.
Oh, Dean Elgar.
Mm. Can he bat?
Bill, he made 11 test hundreds.
Where?
I don't know, but he made
backyard.
Them. Got to make them.
You just have to bowl
short in
the
body.
He came
in as their best batsman and he just got dismantled.
Can any of them bat?
Well, not in that. Well, Bavumba, we liked.
Yeah.
And the wicketkeeper was decent. There were two of them that were okay. The rest were just no good at all.
Elgar, the captain, caught their legs off.
They cut the head off the snake, Bill.
I know they did. Ooh. Well done. They were very good, the Aussies.
Yep, they were.
Speaking of that, let's talk some footy in the Wappy.
Now on Triple M's Rush Hour.
We've also got this, a nice little Wappy.
It's Billy's All Sports Report.
Darcy Moore has been appointed captain of Collingwood, Jim.
I like that.
Yes. I think I do too.
Yep. Very, very good player. I don't know Darcy other than to say hello to, but everyone tells me a very good man, so a good appointment.
Actually,
and, of course, legendary name at the joint.
Well, his dad was captain of the Pies in 81-82,
yep.
So that's fantastic.
It is.
Good player, his old man.
Oh, wasn't he just?
Ruckman that could run everywhere. It'd be good to get Darcy in here, actually, to have a chat to Darcy.
Be good. Yep.
Yeah. Taylor Adams, Jeremy Howe, and Braden Maynard.
We thought the Bruzz might be in there.
He's in the leadership group, obviously. I was lucky enough to catch up with Darcy Moore. And I said to him, hey, Darce, how did all this unfold? And you would have had to have been discreet.
Well, Bill.
Fly just called me into his office pretty discreetly the other day and just after training and told me, broke the news that, you know, the players had voted me and that I was the guy to take us forward, and had to be pretty discreet because there was a lot of... there's a lot of glass big windows in his office and had to keep it a secret, so couldn't do a big reaction or give him a big hug or anything, so we had to keep it pretty discreet.
Mm. There you go, it was discreet, Jim.
Yeah. Well, Bill, I like that. Yeah, just started.
126 games to the Pies, finished third. How's the bone infection? He's not training flat out with the Pies at the minute.
I think he returned to the rehab group this week, so he started running again.
Yeah. Well, Darcy Cameron hobbled off from training today, and it's a big year for him, Darcy Cameron, because there's no Brody Grundy, Jim.
No, there is not.
So a big year at Collingwood for the Ruckman there. Don't worry about that. At Carlton, they have parted ways with AFLW coach Daniel Harford.
Big Shorts.
Yeah, Big Shorts. He's been there for 5, maybe 6 years. I had a review at the AFLW. Only 2 wins this year for Carlton.
It's probably not getting the job done.
No, the review found the coaching position needed to be full-time, something that Daniel couldn't do. Right. Also found at times... confusion with the game plan.
Confused?
Yeah, they were. They were Mikey Roberts.
Mikey Roberts?
Even Mickey. And a lack of alignment.
Wasn't
and
he on the ABC back in the day?
Consistency with the implement of the game plan.
Right,
so there you go.
Yes.
Dan's got plenty to do. He's on radio. The All-Australian lineup has been selected for the BBL.
Yes.
This is the Australian team. Okay, Jim, you ready? Matthew Short,
so
our man.
So this is the team of the tournament.
For the Australians.
Whoa.
Well, not the imports.
Right, I see.
Matthew Short, mm-hmm. Stephen Smith. Aaron Hardy's going to be a good player. Keep your eye on him, Jim.
Thanks.
Oh, Laurel. Yeah,
thanks, Sandra Sully.
Hello, I'm Sandra Sully. Welcome to Tens Lake News.
Good girl, Sandra. Aaron Finch, captain, Jim.
Ooh,
that's a good effort, Finches.
Yeah, had a good tournament.
Inglis, the wicketkeeper.
Yes.
Tim David, Nessa, Sean Abbott. Hadn't he been a good player for a long time? Andrew Tye, Tom Rogers.
He's
done well, Tom Rogers. Yes. You know who else has, Jim? Paddy Dooley's in the side.
Oh, Hooley Dooley.
Dooley
the double world.
He'll play a lot more cricket. He had a lot of blokes in. They didn't know what he was doing.
They can't. He just sort of shot puts it out the front.
I know, he does.
It's excellent. Weird.
And Chris Lynn.
Lenny did. Good, nice bounce back for him.
And he sent off a nice text to the Brisbane Heat. Because I think there was a bit going on there when he got the lemonade. Mm. So, but they're all happy again.
Patched it up.
There's another Aussie in the Premier League, Jim. Socceroos centre-back Harry Suter, yeah. Depends where you grew up.
Mm-hmm.
Suter has signed with Leicester City.
Good.
Yes, good on him. Also, where else?
Oh, no. Well, this is mid-rappy.
Well,
also, what else?
His mum was born here. That's why he played for Australia.
Oh, my
he
God.
Could have played somewhere else. Could have played for another nation.
Scotland.
Yeah, Scotland, that's it. So, good on you, Harry.
This is the rappy.
Lauren Jackson is being... A celebration of Lauren Jackson is being held at John Cain Arena this Saturday, Jim.
Mm.
That's good. She's playing there.
Mm-hmm.
Been a very good player for a long time. Right. So get along there. Right. Tickets are only $20.
Yeah, I can see the old wind-up coming from through the glass.
Corowa Rutherglen.
Oh, no.
Football club, netball club. Corowa Rutherglen. Hard to say. In the ovens of Murray.
Corowa Rutherglen.
Say it properly, David. Not Corowa. Corowa Rutherglen.
I still didn't get it right.
They're
you
in
had
the
three
ovens.
Goes at it.
They're in the ovens of
Bill,
Murray.
It's Corowa and Rutherglen.
That's it. They've combined, Jim. The players on Monday night were told that they might fold. The club might fold. They've been in the comp for 100 years, Jimmy boy. 30 players have left because they've had some lot of damage to the ground because of flooding. So John Longmire was from Corowa Rutherglen.
Matty, I want all four of them bumped together.
And
all four
David
of those
Teague
attempts.
Played in the 2000 Premiership side.
Four.
For the CRs. So it's a shame to see these country clubs folding, Jim, because they are the heartbeat of the town.
It is. I want, Matty, please, all four of those together.
Corowa Rutherglen. Well done, Fat.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
I'm going to do a bit of twerking up there, so stand by.
Imagine, Bill.
An Australian survivor, heroes versus villains, 7:30 tonight on 10 and 10 Play. And their host, Jonathan Lapalia, with a real veiny bicep, joins us in the studio.
Yes. Isn't he, Justin?
Australian Survivor is back on Channel 10.
Survivor's ready.
And this year, it's heroes versus villains.
Those heroes, they're on their high horse. I'm better than you.
I have blindsided. I've lied to people's faces.
Why am I a villain? I'm a real estate agent.
People just believe you when you speak Britishly. It's so funny.
Villains are so much more fun.
To tell us more about these conniving castaways, please welcome the host of Australian Survivor, Jonathan Lapalia.
And in he comes. And Jonathan, this is 7 seasons you've done now.
Yeah.
Was that part of the sign on that you had to look better than the contestants? Because you've actually achieved that over the 7 series.
This is actually the 8th season.
Oh, sheepers.
I know, right? I'm feeling old.
Yeah.
Jesus.
You're not looking old.
No.
Is that the Samoan sun?
It's CGI'd. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No.
Do you work out while they're all doing, you know, living in their camps or their little damp little quarters? You there doing weights by the beach?
Well, you know, the schedule's pretty tight. It's, my workout's usually a beer in one hand and a burger in the other.
not a chicken palm.
Yeah, chicken palm. It's hard to get a good chicken palm in Samoa, let me tell you.
Samoa, gee, it's out the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's just above New Zealand there, Jim, a fair way up. But it's out the middle of nowhere.
Thank you, Bill.
But a beautiful spot, Johnny boy.
Yeah, it is. It is, but it's tough. It's tough for the players.
Oh, yeah. How's it all going? The heroes and villains just started only, what, one or two nights ago?
That's right. We had two nights. Got one more night tonight this week.
Yes.
And then we shift to Sunday through Tuesday.
7:30 tonight on 10 and 10 Play. But a bit of drama, episode one, where there's a couple of injuries.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Oh, are we allowed to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Because Jackie got collarbone?
Collarbone fractured.
Yeah. So she's out?
She is out.
Right.
And George also got injured, but his neck was okay, so he came back.
Right.
But he's got a kind of a nasty laceration on his forehead.
A gash.
It's not pretty. Yeah.
So you would have to take all of that medical staff and provisions with you, I'm guessing, or is it good enough on Samoa, someone gets injured?
No, we have a whole medical team.
Yep.
Yeah. So it, you know, if it all goes pear shaped, they're right there.
Tits up.
It goes tits up.
Psychologists have all the works, Jim. You've got to have them all on standby.
Oh, no, Bill.
I found that when I was in the jungle.
In the celebrity jungle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You aware of that, Jono? Bill was in the celebrity jungle. Lasted a day and a half.
A day and a half.
14. You got to last 14 to get paid. So 14. On the 15th day, I was there.
Yeah, you're out. Yeah. That's it.
I had to lose too much weight. It wasn't good for me.
No, it's definitely not good for you.
Exactly.
No, you don't.
I think
that.
It probably was good.
Did they do no chicken palm?
No, right? No, none there. Hey, what about George? Because he is one of the all-time favourites. Do you have a favourites yourself?
They're all my children, so don't make me choose a favourite.
Yes, but please.
I have a soft spot for George. Yeah. Absolutely. He's a great, great character. Which is one thing, provides very entertaining TV, but he is so clever. He's a great strategist. Mm. He's kind of playing, you'll see as the season progresses, if you're not watching Maths and Idol. And why would you? When Survivor's on, why would you be watching those shows?
Jim, we'll talk to Lisa.
Oh, I know. The women have dominated the bloody remote at our joint.
They dominate you.
You need to take the batteries out of the remote, okay? A big move.
Hey, do you know at the start of a series, I know we've got some people that are revisiting here, but at the start of a standard series, can you tell immediately who you think's going to win? Is it obvious to you because you've done it before?
No, it's not, you know. And every season we take bets and every season I lose a shitload of money.
Do you?
Yeah, I really do. I really think that's the success of the show is that it really is unpredictable. You know that there's going to be a winner, but there are an infinite number of pathways to get there. And I think that's what's so appealing about the show.
Do you reckon you could go on it and do the show and win?
No, I'd be shit.
Why?
It's too hard.
No. You do it virtually.
Well, it's just like you and, you know, I'm a celebrity, get me out.
Yeah.
Here, right? Like 14 days, I'd be like, that's it. Am I paid now? I'm going to go.
That's right. How much is the pay here? 500?
500,000 if you win,
Win.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And tax-free too.
Yeah, it is tax-free. Actually.
Yeah.
Mm.
And Sean Hampson, I'm just being told, is on this season. Former AFL player.
Oh,
Big Shawnee.
God, what a mountain of a man.
Boy,
he's huge. I mean, I look like a little peanut next to him.
It's
crazy.
Boy. Has he got game?
He does have game. You know, I mean, he's great at challenges, and he's really stepped up his game this season. Yeah, I like Sean a lot.
Yeah, good fella.
Yeah.
David Zararakis, do you know him? Little Davey?
David, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What do you reckon? Does he know him? He's a host of the show, Bill.
Well, sometimes the hosts just go, oh, yeah, I like him, Hampson. Oh, I like him. He's all right. But he's a good man. He's one of ours, a good mate of ours.
Dave. Yeah, he's a great guy. He does really well in the show, too.
He's not as big.
No, he's not as big. No. But, you know, he's light and he's agile. He's no slouch.
To go well for himself. Off the field. Good
Not as good as Sean Hampson. I have the supermodel. No,
I know, but I think David had more of a selection.
Oh, no. Where's this going?
I don't know.
David's a pretty handsome rooster.
Yeah, that's right. No, yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Well, Jono. Yeah.
How long does the shooting take? Well, I know we break it up into eps, but how long are you in Samoa for?
It's 2.5 months of shooting.
Ooh.
But, you know, the construction crew, the art department and the guys who do all the building, they're there 3 months before we even get there. So it's a long, you know, it's like 5-6 months of production.
Yeah. And are you looked after better than the contestants? Oh, like you've got your own five star.
Of course he would.
Yeah, I got fluffy slippers and silk robes.
Foxtel.
Foxtel, you know.
Masseuse.
A masseuse. People bringing
so
me grapes on
should.
Set.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you
really?
Should.
You shouldn't say that because people will think that's true.
All right, so what are we're watching this series. What have we got to look out for? What's it, the big moments coming up?
Mm.
Oh, gee. Like, there's so many big moments this season.
The tribe swap's always a big one.
Tribesaw's a big one, and we've got a couple of interesting twists this season. Mm-hmm. We do an interesting twist that I was skeptical of in one of the tribals, but boy, it worked a treat. It's so good. And Simon's involved in it, so he's hilarious this season. He really is.
Any real bitchy action? Like any people that just don't get on at all?
Punch on,
swear badly at each other?
You know, it's all pretty well. It's actually, there is a kind of an interesting relationship develops between Simon and George. They really kind of go for each other at one point, and then they fall in love with each other.
Oh, wow.
It's really quite remarkable.
Just like at home. Yeah.
Just like at home. Okay.
What bit of that's it like at home?
Well, you have your disagreements and you make up too much. Were you at the Revolver last night?
How did you know that?
I heard you were there, really? Dancing away and carrying on.
I was on one of the cages. Absolutely, I'm hanging off the side of one of the cages.
You're at a trivia night.
Bill lives in LA.
Yeah, I know.
So that's where Revolver's attractive. That's standard fare in LA.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. How did you know that? Gee, God, it's like a small town, huh?
Sources told us that.
Did it? Yeah. Well, your sources.
Yeah, they did. They did. Gallivanting too, up at the bar, sculling pots and shots, going berserk, showing his veins, had the arms out, showing his veins.
Chicken palm there, though. It was really disappointing.
You've got to get good to the, hair. What's that place called? The Boundary.
Yes.
We've got to get you to the Boundary before you leave. I'll make sure they have a Survivor on
hair.
The
t- Look at that. Was that a wig?
Oh, my God.
John, that's good.
We've got to be careful I take these headphones off. It doesn't come off with the headphones.
On that disgracefully inappropriate note.
No, we're going to watch it now.
Australian Survivor Heroes and Villains, yes. Reddit.
7:30 p.m., Channel 10 and 10 Play tonight. Then it moves to Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Is that right, JLP?
Correct.
Beautiful.
Correct.
JLP.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. John Paul Young.
No. Not even. Great to see you again, Jonathan. Thanks for stopping by.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
Jonathan Lapalia on the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Oh, I got another one, Jim. Right. Just like the other one. All right, hump day quiz time.
It's time, Jim.
We went famously after a footy show year to a restaurant in the Docklands. Mm-hmm. With the full team assembled, so, and the old enforcer.
Yes.
And they got the table full of food.
Well, nice and, food. We liked it.
There would have been thousands of dollars worth of food on the table.
On the table.
And the old enforcer pushed the table back, went and saw the maitre d' and said, we must have better food.
That's how he said it.
Exactly how he said it. So they came and cleaned the whole table and started again.
Yep.
Every piece of food was taken from the table.
And we got better food.
We got better food. 100% what happened.
True.
So I'm using that as an analogy for today with the hump day quiz.
I was wondering where you were going.
We must have better contestants.
No, Jim. Oh, contestants.
Well, because this is what happened last week.
Name the outgoing New Zealand Prime Minister.
Lisa Willis.
I'm giving it to you, Willis. I'm giving it to you, Willis, because I heard your voice first, even though you got your own name wrong.
He got his own name wrong, Jim.
Phil.
Willis called himself Lisa.
Lisa, exactly. So 133353, up and about you need to be.
Exactly, Jim, because it's well hosted.
Not really.
Great questions.
Not really.
We just need two up and about contestants, Jim.
We do.
Because there's very good prizes.
Yeah, $200 Neverland store voucher, of course, the home of Australian streetwear. Put this one in your diary. First weekend of March at 30 Warwick Avenue, Preston. They got a massive deal to be found. Don't miss out. It's a massive warehouse sale there.
What street? Some...
30 Warwick Avenue. It's got 30th Warwick Avenue written on my sheet. So unfortunately, I stuffed that one up.
Whitney's.
No.
Tailor-made TP5 golf balls.
Yes, they're there as well.
All right. Corowa. Rutherglen?
Oh, no, that's coming. 133353, ring us now if you want to be a part of this disappointing quiz. We must have better contestants.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Drink anyone?
Yeah.
Cheese them? Mark from... Look, I've just said something really embarrassing and there's been a nice pregnant pause.
Yes.
Anyone like a cheese?
Oh, here we go.
And now, from the studios of Triple M Melbourne, it's the Rush Hour's Hump Day Quiz. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's your host, Billy Brownless.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to this first of Feb Hump Day Quiz. It's always good. Always very popular.
Not really?
in the ratings show that, Jim. It just spikes.
Well, the ratings fly, but nothing to do with this.
And we have two very good contestants. I can feel it in my bones.
Right.
We've got Reesey out there at Fringers. G'day, Reese.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Good. What do you do, Reesey?
Civil supervisor looking after all the road builds and whatnot just to get the world moving.
Oh, the stop go.
Are you standing there with a 40K sign telling me to slow down?
Nah, I'm organising people to do that.
Right. Jeez, they're all over. I live Bayside, Reesey. Mm. They are everywhere.
Yeah, they're getting good money as well.
I know they are.
Bloody oaf, they are.
Well, Dougie dancing.
Yeah,
maybe dancing. A new job for you, Bill.
Well, not Pike, yet. I think I saw Pikey on one once.
Pikey is exactly right.
Making good money. All right, well done. Who else we got?
And we got Brad there. Brad's from Merrigan. Where's Merrigan, Bradley?
Somewhere between Shep and Kyabram.
Ooh. Out near what? Waioi?
No, not quite that far.
Wanyu?
Where your head is.
What about Wanyu?
Wanyu, no, that's at the other side of Shep. That's north.
Come on, Fat. So nowhere near either of those places.
Sheeped station in Australia.
Sheeped station. Yeah. which club do you support, Bradford?
Oh, Mighty Kangaroos, mate.
Here he is. We're bouncing back hard this year.
There you go.
No, thanks, mate. That's enough from you.
What are you doing right now, Brad, up there in Merrigan?
Just having a bourbon.
Oh! Early start.
That's good. Good on you, Bradley.
All right.
I start early in the morning.
That's it. So he's knocked off work. That's having a bourbon.
Get
beautiful.
It right, Fat, this quiz.
Righto. Five questions. First one that normally answers three wins a great prize.
Who does Reesey support, by the way?
Reesey's a Carlton.
Carlton.
So Reese,
Mighty Blues.
You're Reese.
The Mighty Blues.
Yeah.
Haven't been for a while.
No, it's been a while, Reese.
Calm down.
Oh, and Bradford. So we've got Reesey and Bradford.
Righto, here we go. Jim, you're the judge. Here we go. Who is the captain of Collingwood?
Reese.
Reesey.
Darcy Moore.
Oh, see, I thought I might have tricked him.
We're away.
I reckon that might have tricked Brad. Who are you going to say, Brad?
Yeah, I knew. I just wasn't quite sure of the name.
All right, one zip.
Yep. What does MAFS stand for?
Brad.
Bradford.
Brad, M-A-F-S.
Married at First Sight.
Whoa!
One each.
You been watching it, Brad?
Nah. Oh, apparently the missus is, but.
No, she'd love it, mate. Don't worry about that. Question three, one all, Jim.
Yes, one all. Oh, nice. Quite a ring-a-ding, but getting there.
Who was named the Alan Border medalist for the fourth time on Monday?
Race.
Yes, Bradford.
Steve Smith.
Steve Smith.
Oh,
the man from Merrigum suddenly lifted.
Coming good.
Who got that one? Brad, did he?
Yeah, Bradford. Yeah. Wow. So 2-1. Reesey needs to lift.
He does.
Here we go.
Blue flyer.
I think Reese has nearly said Reese first every time.
Come on.
Which Italian motorcycle legend is driving at Bathurst this weekend?
Reese.
Yes, Reesey.
I'll just give it a crack with Valentino Rossi.
Valentino Rossi.
Here he is.
So
the key, I think, that is try to win when it's possible, when the bike and the tires work very well, but at the same time try to don't make mistake in the difficult weekend.
It's a Valentino.
About 7 or 8-time world champ.
Oh, mate, on the two wheels.
GP. All right, so what we do, two and two.
Two. Oh, ring-a-ding-ding-ding.
It's a proper ring-a-ding-ding.
Prize. Question five.
Here we go.
Today, in 1964, the Beatles got their first number one hit in America, Jim.
Yes.
With I Want to Hold Your Hand. Someone sing a bit of the song for me, please.
Reese.
Reesey.
I want to hold your hand. I want to hold your hand.
No. Let me hold your hand. Let's see what Brad would have done.
Right, Bradford.
Brad.
I want to hold your hand. I want to hold your hand.
I think that's got it.
Oh, Jimmy, reckon?
I think there's a bit more. Well, I'm going to ask the girls because they're much more discerning.
I would have gone with Reese.
Who got the tune better? Is it Bradford or is it Reesey? Reesey, they've gone with
Reese. Oh, they've gone with Reese.
All right, Reesey's got it.
Da-da-da-da-da.
No! What has Reese won?
A $200 Neverland store voucher, the home of Australian streetwear featuring brands like Nina and Pasadena and Kiss Chasey as well.
Reesey?
Thanks, fellas. Make sure you enjoy your bourbon, other mate.
Oh, Brad, do you play golf, Brad?
No, mate.
I knew that.
No, mate.
Oh, hey, yes, I do.
Oh, yes, he does. You got some golf balls coming to you.
Yes, all thanks to TaylorMade, the TP5 from TaylorMade, JB. Why play the number one ball in golf when you can play the one that beats it?
Exactly right, and the Stealth 2 driver coming up shortly. Now, Reesey, that Beatles song from 1964.
Yeah.
It's about the last time we heard the blues song as well.
Here we go, mate. We'll see what Clarko does this year.
Don't worry about that, Reesey.
How's the bourbon? How's the bourbon, Brett?
Oh, bloody good, mate. We'll have a few more.
I'm going to go crack a VB.
All right, go and enjoy it, you two. Nice contestants.
So, Merrigan, a population of 672 live in Merrigan.
And did you work out whose other town near it?
No.
Because the two you said were nowhere near it.
Well, they've got a golf club there, Jim, so Brad will be down there with his bourbon.
He will in his TP5s.
Yes, exactly.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Where's the boss? I've got to sign on for next year. I haven't signed.
I would do it quickly. So, Merrigan, we just had our contestant, Merrigan. Brad.
Yeah.
Burnside.
Yes.
Cooma.
Yes.
Gilliston.
Never heard.
Harston.
Maroochna.
Well, no. Where it's close to, you should know.
Why?
Because people wee on you.
Oh, at what's the pub there
Don't
called?
Don't say anything.
We'll come good in a minute. Anyway, what have you been doing?
We went up there and did a show from the pub.
Yeah, we did.
And
yes.
Your face is at the urinal.
That's it, Jim.
Starts
with a what? Give me a clue. Let's play a game.
I'll have a look at it, Rosie.
Tatura.
Tatura.
Tat.
The tat.
Tat, of course.
And that's right there next to Merrigan.
Right.
Yes. Now, Bill.
Yes.
What it's nowhere near is...
Isle of the Century.
Corowa or Rutherglen.
Yes.
Or as you put it...
Porra Rutherglen, football club, netball club. Porra Rutherglen, hard to say. In the ovens of Murray.
Porra Rutherglen.
Say it properly, David. Porra Rutherglen.
I still didn't get it right.
John Longmire was from Porra Rutherglen. It is hard to say.
Oh, go on.
Like Taskmaster.
Yes.
Porra. Hang on.
You're going to have to clap it out.
Yeah,
I've got to
clap
it
like Big Judd.
There you are, go on.
Corowa, Rutherglen.
There you are.
There you go.
It's not that hard, fact.
Well, it's going to fold. We shouldn't be making fun.
We should,
because that's
famous
the heartbeat.
Club.
Exactly. Horses there, and David Teague is from there. A lot of good footballers from there. And looks like they might fold. Mm. Yeah. And they're the heartbeat of country towns, Jim. Both Corowa and Rutherglen.
The tat pub. People were just all over Bill.
Exactly, Jim.
With the mouth open.
I actually weed on myself.
You did.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
And you come sat too close to me. I've got a cramp.
Oh, no. He's got a cramp.
Triple M's Rush Hour, JB and Bill, all thanks to the Trade Institute of Victoria. If you already are a tradie and looking to upskill, head to tiv.vic.edu.au, Bill.
Yes, were you ever a tradie, Jim? Do you ever think about it?
No.
No. Why?
Because I went straight from school into journalism.
Right.
And then went straight from journalism into playing cricket and then working not as a journalist.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was very poor at it.
I thought I might look at, I was very good at woodwork at school.
No, you wouldn't have
been. And I was going to be a carpenter.
No, you wouldn't have been.
If I would have been, I would have gone
Bill,
to TIV.
All TIV trainers are highly experienced in building and construction. They offer invaluable support and mentoring to students. So you can work during the day, do your course at night.
Exactly right. And have strong relationships with employers out there. So when you've done your little time there at TIV, guess what? They help you get a job. That's not bad.
So, Bill, I like that, TIV.com.
It would have been a horrible carpenter.
Oh, well,
now,
good.
I'll do that again. TIV.vic.edu.au. Did you know Usman Khawaja, you were talking about this earlier, has had his visa withheld?
I haven't spoken about it yet.
Well, haven't you?
No.
I thought you did that off the top.
No, we were going to wait. We had a meeting. Yes.
Before you get to it,
yes.
You need to also work out when he submitted his visa. Because it's actually a disgrace what's happened there. So that is coming up next.
Yeah, good tease, Jim.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Remember what we used to do? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Remember?
Oh, and Mondays.
Mondays and Fridays off. What happened to that fact?
Well, we got too popular.
All right, Mick Malloy not too far away. Mm-hmm. Of course, front bar back on.
Yes.
And also we're going to find out what he's doing up in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
I think Fat's got a line of questioning ready for him.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, man. I want to know.
Now, Bill.
Yes?
as you said earlier about Usman Khawaja.
No, Jim, we're talking about it now.
All right, talking about it now. Yes. But you're going to give us the detail. But when you read the story, which we all did,
yeah,
my instant reaction was to be critical of Cricket Australia for not getting their bloody house in order,
yes,
and getting the visa thing sorted out, mm-hmm, so our team were ready to travel. Well, but when you go deeper into it.
Well, let me tell you the story. Born in Pakistan, mm-hmm, we all know that, Uzi, yes, yep, was left behind at the airport today when his teammates flew to India after his visa was delayed by the Indian government.
So here's the thing, Bill. When did they put the paperwork in, including his passport, for said visa?
Well, apparently during the Sydney test.
So it's the best part of 3 weeks ago.
But I assume they all the players were put in then. And only one has been knocked back, and that is Uzi.
That is Uzi. And this is on the back of him suffering similar issues,
yes, exactly,
back in 2020, yes, when Australia went there for an ODI tour.
It's very interesting. So, surely it's not the Indian government that's just sitting there going, oh, no, he's born in Pakistan, we're not letting him in.
Well, I don't know, but surely if you're an international cricketer and you're going to India to play in a test series, mm-hmm, and you're given 3 weeks lead-up,
yeah,
that's enough time to, mm-hmm, get your paperwork in order.
Well, you'd think so. It'd go through, straight through. You would
imagine.
Get the green light, bang, bang, bang.
I mean, and also, I'm not an expert when it comes to visas.
No.
But it doesn't matter where he's born, he's an Australian citizen. So why would he be treated any differently?
Well, because I think if you're born in Pakistan and you're going to India, they have a look at all the visas. Apparently, let me read this.
What did that mean?
Well, because they don't like each other. We know that, Jim.
Well, I know, so. But he was born there, but he's lived,
I know,
his whole life in Australia, and he's an Australian citizen.
I tell you what, it does open up. Can he play tomorrow night in the Big Bash final?
Yeah. Jump in.
Well, he's still here in Australia.
Exactly.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Very interesting.
This is a feedback. Did you read a bit of feedback there? It's very good feedback from Rosie. Mm-hmm. Pat Cummins has it, and he wants to declare and bowl. That's what they're saying.
What's happening right now?
I don't know what's happening, Bill.
What's actually happening?
They know you can play spin.
What are you referring to?
These are all the feedbacks on this. Uzi put something up, and he put him.
You need to explain what feedback is.
It's a bit of feedback. It is
on what
on the post that Usman put That's up it, about him post. Waiting.
Yes,
there we are. Right.
But that was interesting. Wonder if he could play tomorrow night in the final.
Well, I don't know, Bill, and I'm not sure whether he'd be allowed to, given that he's probably going to have departed the country by then.
Yeah, well, who knows?
But, Bill, I do not understand how, in this modern era,
yeah,
we can be having issues like this. Well, it makes no sense to me. That's 3 weeks ago.
I did read somewhere. Just keep talking.
What are you reading?
I did read that. I tell you what else, speaking of. So, Uzi, he'll get to India and he'll bat well. Don't worry about that.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Mickelson. Have you seen him?
Mickelson.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I have.
He's
a golfer. Well, he's not got him anymore.
Well, he hasn't. Look at him. He's the skinniest he's ever been. He said he's back to his college days.
Yep.
He's lost a lot of weight and he can't wait to play. He's at peace if he never plays in the PGA Tour or the Ryder Cup again. Because he's a big live man, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah, so he's at peace now. Geez, he's lost some weight.
He has lost weight. Mm. All right. So there's your wrap.
How big's that LIV tournament going to be in Adelaide, do you reckon?
Yeah, it'll be enormous. It'll be enormous. Grange is a great course. There are two courses there, actually. So my understanding is they're going to make it a composite of the two.
What does that mean?
In other words, a bit of one course and a bit of the other. It'll be a composite build, yeah.
Righto.
And the people over there that I know in golf cannot wait.
Oh, yeah.
Bill, the players are going to be, Dustin Johnson will be there.
Cam
Smith will be there.
Yes.
Phil Mickelson will be there. Sergio Garcia, Patrick Reed. These are the best players in the world. Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, it'll be and the first time ever outside America? No.
Well, certainly the first time ever in Australia.
Mm.
So that will, Bill, it will be absolutely brilliant it'll be.
Are you going to go?
I would love to, but we're in the middle of footy, so I'm unlikely, sadly, because my mate there. Wade Ormsby's a big part of the Aussie team.
You'll get there, Jim. You'll find a way.
I want to get there. Because my understanding is what happens off the course around these LIV tournaments is as much fun as what happens on it.
Greg will be there?
Greg will be there.
Will
the boss.
Oh,
Oh, Bluey will be. No, don't worry, Bluey's already got his tickets. He's already locked and loaded.
He'll have his
I thought
wood.
You were talking about the shark.
He's one wood, the shark.
Now you're talking about the shark.
Have you got any more feedback from Pat Cummins there, mate?
Oh, for anyone. Pat's going to declare.
Is he? You're right. Okay.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Great Britain, then America, Ukraine, and then Azerbaijan.
Now, Fat.
Yes.
I know you're a serial cramper because we've seen it in this studio a lot.
Yes.
You're just talking away and then suddenly you get this stupid look on your face. And then he sort of half stands up and then leans into the desk.
It does happen, Jim.
Well, Bill, I have laughed at you hard.
Mm.
Full stop.
I know. Because of my joke.
Yeah, but also with the cramping. But I've got to put my hand high and say of late my left hamstring has been driving me nuts.
Oh.
Because it's quivering. So as I'm sitting often, it starts to get this thing just
so
under the surface.
You can feel it coming.
And I'm like, oh, no, this is not good.
Yes, Jim.
And, Bill, it's happening in all the wrong places. Oh. I'm going to give you some examples.
Oh, good.
Because, once it happens, you've got to get your leg out straight and you've got to be able to pull your toe back.
Well, if you can touch your toe.
All right, so sitting in a plane.
Oh, yeah.
Bill.
No good,
You're
Jim.
Sitting there and you're thinking, I can feel it going.
Yeah.
And I know that I can't get my leg out far
That's
enough.
Right.
So especially if you're up against the bloody window.
So you've got to stand up.
Well, see, if you're in the aisle, you can jump out and it's easy. Yeah. But if you're against the window, you bloody stand up and bang, you know where you hit the bloody flight attendant button. That's what people, the passengers looking at you
what
like
are you
you're
doing?
A half-wit.
Yeah, exactly.
So then, and what it does, starts working on your head.
Oh.
So when you feel the twing, the little quiver, you start going, oh, no, it's going.
Here it comes.
And then you start worrying about it, and then it does go.
Mm.
But the other place you don't want to cramps in a car.
Oh.
So I'm the passenger in a car.
Better
the other day.
Better to be the passenger.
Well, the driver. It hasn't happened when I've been driving, thank Christ.
Yes.
But I was a passenger the other day, and I'm sitting behind the passenger seat. So I'm in the back behind the passenger seat with some other boys.
Yes.
And Bill, it started, and I'm like, quivering. Oh, no. Anyway, then it went, and I'm like, doing straight out past the left shoulder of the bloke in front.
He's going,
what the hell are you doing? I'm like, I've got a cramp. I said, grab me bloody foot. Anyway, so that's, I'm thinking, right, I can't get any worse than that until the other night.
Oh, no. In the cot.
Bill, I was fast asleep, but you know when you're like half dreaming, but you're half awake, you know that sort of state?
Yes.
I'm thinking, this is going. It's going to go again. Because I could feel it and I'm half asleep. And then as I started dreaming, half thinking that, it's gone. And then at 3 a.m., I've given it the, no! I'm out of bed and I'm saying to her, babe, grab my foot.
Oh, poor old
she,
babe,
she's fast asleep.
Yeah.
She thought it was an intruder was in our room. Bill, I'm telling you.
Jeez.
So she's giving it the, no! Like that. I'm like, darling, it's
me. So you're
me.
All yelling. Everyone's yelling.
Like, darling, it's me. Just grab my foot.
Oh.
Which she then had to.
Yeah.
Because, Bill, there's no saving a man. Once you actually cramp,
once it goes, you're stuffed. Exactly right, Jim.
And if it's calf, you can manage it.
Yeah, calf.
But hamstring, no.
I do it in bed, and you're right, it quivers.
Yeah.
So I play games, see how far you can get, how close. And then when you go, and mate, you're right, in bed, you can't do anything.
No, you're hopping up to the wall, and then you're trying to get it sort of pushed back. If you're on your own, if someone else can help you, it's different.
No, you're on your own. It's hard work, Jim.
She's hard work.
Mm, bloody hell. The other one goes in your groin. I reckon I cramped all my legs and my body. I couldn't move.
What, like old mate Richardson from New Zealand?
Well, he's
playing that sweep shot in India.
Jeez, I was stuffed. I could not move.
What does it mean? Are we not drinking enough water?
Not enough salt.
Salt?
Well, I don't know, actually. What's it mean, Raps?
I think it is salt, isn't it? Yeah,
salt.
Enough more salt.
Well, someone will tell us.
I don't know, but anyway, it's no bloody good.
133353.
Well, we got some audio of Richo.
Yes.
Come on, here we go. Have a listen.
Yeah. Goodness me.
Goodness me.
Bill, that was me at 3 a.m.
Yeah, 3 a.m. with Pearl Lease next year.
Yeah. Goodness me.
It's Jim.
I'm telling you, no good.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Number three, here we go. How many laps are there around Mount Palomaran?
Oh!
James Brayshaw, Billy Brownless, this is Triple M's Rush Hour and the Front Bar All Sports returns tonight, 9 p.m. on Channel 7 and the host, Mick Malloy, joins us.
Our next guest has come back home to Triple M, waking Sydney up with Mick and MG in the morning.
Now we've learned that you don't like Frankfurts.
No.
This is really noise. Upset with you today. Can we have a chat after the show?
Let's go to Noosa. I'm going to take my shirt off.
Yeah, I'll be limping off with a hammy real quick. I'll tell you right now.
You can hear him live on the Listener app or right now as we welcome Mick Molloy.
Front Bar All Sports. Yes. Hello, Mickey.
Here we go, boys. We're starting a new year and we all go over the trenches tonight. It's going to be a load of fun. Great to speak to you again, fellas.
The Furphy Front Bar too.
Oh, Mick, what's happened there?
I tell you what.
Yeah.
A bloody good beer, Furphy. And Mick, you'll be hearing all about it on the show tonight. I know people go, we need to make a major change. So it's either get rid of Andy Marr, or change
the beer. Which should have to be up there.
Oh, I went down to the wire. So there's a bit more blue on the set this year, boys. But don't worry, same jokes, same old bastards telling them.
And maybe drinking out of handles this year.
Handles, that's right. They have to get used to the handle because, you know me, the pot is like an extension of my arm.
That's right. So
I've been carrying it around the house. I've been sleeping with it. I've been getting up with it. I've been sitting on the toot with it. And I tell you what, I like what I feel.
Right, Geelong born, of course, Furphy, down there. Correct. Now,
can I say this, by a mile, the best thing to ever come out of Geelong.
No,
Come on, Mickey boy.
No question of that. Now, all sports means we drift out beyond the AFL realm, and I'm just looking at the list here, Mickey. Lauren Jackson, an extraordinary story. Pat Rafter, great friend of this show, a legend. David Boone, Babs Boone's coming on.
Boone, we'll see how much of that Furphy you can drink in an hour.
Bet he doesn't.
Might be able to break his own record.
You got to ask him about that. Now, are you going to ask him about that? Because he doesn't like talking about that, Mickey boy.
Oh, I know he doesn't. And probably on a show that's promoting beer and the responsible serving of alcohol.
Listen,
we might all give it a wide berth, but I'm looking forward to asking him a lot of questions. Did you know this?
Yeah.
I'm not sure you know. He took a wicket.
I know.
He took a wicket at the highest level. Imagine... We're trying to track down his one and only victim. That would be a great interview.
Not Brayshaw, is it?
I'll tell you what, you've got... No, because we're talking highest level. what we've got, Mickey, is him, Michael Slater and Mark Taylor all have a test wicket and are all in a race to the bottom. Are the worst bowlers ever seen in the game.
Oh, that's a trifecta. We'll actually put those back to back. Yep. And we'll put it over. It'll be like what was the old comp? Classic catches.
So, yes.
I'm interested in this, Mickey, because I know your knowledge of all sports is extensive.
Mm. Sure.
And Birrarung Ma, extraordinary.
Very good, actually.
Brain like a bloody encyclopedia when it comes to all of that. But Pang interests me. How much does Pang know about cricket, for instance? Mm.
He's a big cricket fan. Do you know what? He's an actual West Indies nuffy. Oh, if you go to his house, I swear this is true. He's got like a serial killer room out the back where he's got all old bats that are signed and all the old WSC tops from different years.
Oh, yeah,
yes.
He can tell you which one was which, and he's actually I was genuinely surprised, but and openly says he barracks for the West Indies, which is very unpatriotic for
especially given how bad they are now.
Who barracks for New Zealand? Maxie Gorn.
Yep. Yeah, he's from New Zealand.
Yeah. Gee, they had some shockers, didn't they? What was it? Oh, I remember.
Oh,
during the Bracewell era.
Oh, yeah. Headley Howarth.
Some of those diarrhea browns. Oh. Tops coming in off the long run.
Oh, John Wright. Bloody hell. And then Graham Arnold, Johnny Bertram, Alfie Langer.
Now, I run into Johnny Bertram because he drinks coffee near me and we have a chat now and then. He's still sailing and won a good competition last week, Jim. So he's still going well.
Where do you think he sits amongst the best skippers ever? I'll throw some skippers at you.
Right.
You tell me where he sits.
Who?
Captain Scatino.
Yeah, he's a love boat or something.
Skipper for Gilligan's Island.
Yes.
No, he's still up top.
Captain Stubing.
Oh, now you're talking. Okay. Now it's heads bobbing.
No,
this one will test you. Captain Feathersword. Oh. No, he was a pirate.
He was
a pirate. He spent a lot of time at sea. Captain and Tennille.
Oh, there we are. Back to the 70s.
Captain Jack Sparrow. What about Magellan?
Yep.
Yeah. Could he win attacking duel against Magellan? I doubt it.
I've got one more captain for you.
Go on.
Captain Spaulding. Oh. Is he still playing around the traps, Mick, Captain Spaulding?
I thought you were going to say Captain Birdseye, but no, he went there. Captain Spaulding,
Eddie's Tavern on a Monday night. Back in the day. Oh. I dare you to ask Johnny Bertram when he comes on, Mick, if he actually does, in fact, have a winged keel.
Oh,
have you done a lot like
at home?
Whether he's fashioned it into something winged, just...
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll ask him if Ben Lexon designed his mustache.
No,
we've got
I love
it. Mustaches on. That's we open up with John Bertrand, and then the following week it's Bernie. Well, ooh, where do you want to go? Where do you go after that? Yeah. You have to go Nuke.
Merv. You bloody will, Merv. Exactly right. I think you've already had Merv on, haven't you?
Think we have had Merv on. Yes. So.
All right, now we like that, but...
I don't want to ask a question about the breakfast show.
Just wait a minute, all right, because we'll have a little break with Mick.
What about the promo?
We'll have a break with that as well.
Oh.
The Front Bar All Sports, 9 p.m. tonight on the mighty 7 Network.
How much is he getting paid?
More with Mick Malloy next on the Rush Hour, Triple M.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy.
Billy's joke has been copied on another radio station.
That's a disgrace.
That's, because that girl did it.
Yeah, what's it called?
It's called plagiarism.
No! Yeah!
JB and Bill, this is Triple M's Rush Hour, and Mick Malloy joins us ahead of the Front Bar All Sports returning 9 p.m. tonight on Channel 7. And you can hear him on the Listener app with MJ hosting Triple M Breakfast in Sydney.
Now, Mick Malloy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much.
Good to be already been on. Yeah.
I'm just going to quote something from last year when you left Hot Breakfast. And you, quote unquote, "I am never, ever, ever doing breakfast radio again." Live? No.
No, I may have been misquoted.
So, why are you doing breakfast radio for Triple M in Sydney?
Right. Sometimes in life, opportunities present themselves that just can't be not taken, if you know what I mean.
How much?
Well, let's just say one of those giant novelty checks that Tony Gregg used to hand out at the end of the game came my way. You know what? To be honest, I've done just about everything in radio, and I went, I've never really had a crack at Sydney breakfast. I'll go up there and take on those lightweights and come home with the chockies. So anyway, that's where we're at, and I am. Good morning.
Now, give us a nip, because we don't get to hear the show down here, of course. What time are we starting, please? Yeah. Because normally a breakfast show is underway by 6.
6, yeah.
Yeah, they call me the baker. I'm up about 1-2 in the morning, so just getting in there, going through some jokes. Six is the start.
But what time do you start?
Oh, mate, I'm already. I hit the ground running. I come in hot about 5:45 and fire up the locals and get it all going. And then usually hang around for about 4 hours afterwards, asking, is there anything else I can do before I leave?
The studios up there, Mick, are a place called World Square. You been anywhere near there?
Well, I have, and let me tell you, sometimes I come from straight across the road just to be there. I saw on camera, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing at 5 a.m. I mean, Jesus, see people coming in. These massages places are popular, aren't they?
Yeah, they're everywhere.
There must be a lot of people with very sore necks.
Chinatown, of course, just down the road too, so you can get a beautiful feed at the Golden Triangle. Used to be one of the work.
You know me, we've done it before. The three of us have all been huddled around a lazy Susan.
Of course we have.
Popping those dumplings like Maltesers. So, mate, it's a good part of town. It's a good city, and I'm actually enjoy it. MG's not bad value, to be honest.
He's good fun.
He's a great bloke, and you kind of when he gives you the stink eye, you kind of do what he says.
Yeah, exactly. Did I hear that you slipped? Speaking of enjoying yourself, over to Thailand for New Year's Eve, Mick.
Speaking of massages.
I did. I went to Bangkok, and it's all in my new Prince Harry style autobiography. There is a sealed section. Like, what an idiot that guy is. Have you had a go at the autobiography?
No.
Spare.
Anyone who talks about their penis and their mummy in the same sentence is kind of, I reckon, needs another editor.
As we get back to the front bar coming up tonight, of course, all sports. I haven't seen it, but you were telling me, Bill, there's a very nice promo being put together.
Well, there's a promo, and unfortunately someone doesn't have a shirt on.
Oh, no. It
takes me back a week or so ago, maybe up in Noosa, but have a listen to the promo for the front bar with Mick and, of course, old... Pangos.
You're a f***ing dickhead, Pang. I'm telling you, it's this Wednesday, front bar, All Sports National.
You are a liar.
I swear on my daughter's life.
You don't even have a daughter.
I swear on Andy Marr's life.
That means even f***ing less.
Don't you walk away from me, Pangos. Oh, f***. Now I've done my hammy.
Not your hammy, that's gout, you fat.
And he's got his shirt off, Jim, so imagine that.
And the last line wasn't scripted, by the way. That was just a little bit of ad-libbing from Pangos.
Pangos? Well,
people are calling him Pangos. I really hope sticks, man. People don't realise this because my shirt is off and it does drive the ladies a little insane. But I actually put on 10 pounds for that role.
Did you?
No one asked me to. just went out, man, went nuts. But that is some of the best gout acting you'll ever see. When I limp off, Daniel Day-Lewis rang me and went, look, I did my left foot. But that is without doubt. The greatest bit of gout acting, and in my case, it's method acting, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah.
Working up for that role.
Mick, you used to have the gear off on that big billboard, Punt Road, near the famous home of the Tigers, and caused more car accidents than anything in Victoria.
It caused more car accidents, and Richo reckons there was a billboard up at the Richmond Bridge, the railway bridge, and it was behind the goals, and Richo reckons that's why you can't kick straight. He reckons he spent all the time of his senior playing of trying to avoid that. And Glenn Robbins said to me once, he goes, look, I don't mind your billboard. He goes, they've erected one around near where I live, and it's just opposite a primary school. He goes, it's not great for the kids, but also, too, you have to slow down to 40Ks before you pass it. So you can't actually bolt through. But I'll be taking that up with Pat Rafter because we've both been underpant models.
Yeah.
Pat, of course, for Bonds, and me, of course, for... Triple M, so that one could go down to the wire, ladies.
Your belly button looks like the Burnley Tunnel, fair dinkum. Have a look at it. Wow. Hey,
that belly button can follow you around the room, like, you know, eyes in a painting. You gotta watch out.
What's Pang doing now? Because he doesn't do any radio anymore, so he's just doing your show. That's it.
He's hopeless, and he barely does our show. You watch him. He shuts up shop after about 6:40. I could put a sack of potatoes on his stool and... ask it questions, and it'll be just as responsive.
Bloody expensive.
Front bar, All Sports, 9 p.m. tonight. Mickey, I know you're on a tight run, so we'll let you go.
You,
but good luck tonight. Not that you'll need it.
Love it. Thanks, boys. Always appreciate you.
Hey, how much, Mick? How much are you getting?
How much? It's a packet of burgerines and half a paddle pop.
Do you want to watch Billy's joke?
Look at him. He's now in the fetal position because he knows how appalling that is.
Just follow Triple M Rush Hour on Instagram and you can see Billy's joke every day.
Oh, now Tommy Gleeson on tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy boy.
And the pretty boy.
Yes.
Zarafa. World. Well, here we go. That's what he's coming out for.
I know.
Cowboy. And he's bringing the heat, Pat.
His yellow boxing gear.
He's happy to take on anyone. All comers.
He's happy to go.
So we're looking forward to chatting to him as well. Now, good show. This one's
great
been.
Show. Yes,
so it'd be nice to finish it off with something funny.
It would be nice, unfortunately.
And original.
End the day with a laugh.
I have a joke.
This is Billy's joke.
Right, here we go.
It's original, this one, Jim.
Oh, good.
A skeleton walks into a bar, Jim. He walked up to the bartender and he said, "Bartender, give me a beer and a mop."
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
He'd drink the beer and then it goes straight on the floor.
See, when you have to explain it, rabbits, and there's only one song that can be hit.
Give me a beer and a mop, Jim. A mop, Rabs.
No.
See, Rabs, you've got
only going one way.
Have you been with him?
That's
had
only
a coffee
going
with Jim, have you?
One way.
No humour.
No.
No humour.
You're right. There was no humour attached to that.
Zero humour.
At all.
You knew. Wrong? You knew telling that one that it was going to be woolly, didn't you?
It was in the Herald Sun.
Oh.
Instant, he said it was original.
Instant blaming.
What's wrong with you two? N-H.
Triple M's Rush Hour with JB and Billy. Start on your way to becoming a registered builder with the Trade Institute of Victoria. Head to tib.vic.edu.au. RTO 21920.